Hello, and welcome to episode 84 of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. This week we have two segments for you, and then a bonus segment at the end of the show. Kicking things off, myself, Mike, and Patrick talk about the recent Rayman Legends Challenges app that just released for free on the eShop last week. After that, myself, Zach, and Neil break down Injustice: Gods Among Us, the DC fighter. And then after the outro, we have a bonus segment all about the NHL playoffs. I know, don't get too excited. With myself, JP, and special guest, Donald Terrio. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today, I'm with Mike Sklens.
Heyo.
And Patrick Barnett.
No longer the high score king, unfortunately.
And we're talking about the Rayman Legends Challenges app. I want to add like an echo effect. To
Challenges
the app.
To make the name sound slightly less stupid, but it is wonderfully fun. But an awful name.
I hate that app is in the name. I don't want apps like associated.
Why can't it
with...
just be Rayman Legends Challenges? That's all it needs.
Yeah. Perfect. Beautiful. Printed.
Preview challenge or. Why does app... There's nothing app about this, but okay.
No, they just called Olive Branch to try to make you not angry about the delay of the real game. that would be an appropriate title. So, yeah, Rayman Legends was infamously delayed back in February till August and now September to coincide with the releases of the 360 and PS3 version. And about a week after the fallout from all of that and people like vowing to not buy the game now at all and just a lot of anger, they're like, well, we'll give you a free download for just Wii U. And at the time I was like, well, that's kind of stupid. We already have the demo, but having played it, yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
It makes the wait much easier, I think.
It definitely, especially if they keep supporting it. And if like the levels keep being somewhat different every day.
I imagine they will support it up until the release of the game at the very least.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, if this was supposed to be, like, a feature in the regular game and they just pulled it out.
Or maybe it'll be in there anyway. Maybe it'll stay in there. That'd be great.
They're saying this is a Wii U-only thing, but, like, is that going to be, like, an asterisk? And it's going to be like, well, it's a Wii U download only, but it's included in the full version of the 360 and PS3 game. I mean, why put all the work in and not release it on the others?
If it is in the full version, do you think there's going to be an easy way to transfer over your data? That you collect up.
Yeah, and... I'm sure. Don't worry, all your trophies will be safe.
all your awesomeness will be preserved, Patrick.
I got a platinum the other day, and I was so happy.
Oh, wow, I've never gotten a platinum.
Is that above or below diamond? I heard there's diamond.
Or maybe
also.
It's diamond. Diamond, that's what I mean then.
Whatever
it is. Okay. Oh, okay. That's cool. Okay, so yeah, let's talk a little bit about the app. So, first of all, we'll just get out of the way. It does include the three demo levels that were in the demo that came out earlier this year.
Castle
right,
Rock,
so
very much fun
it's
still.
So great. I know. They just released a new trailer today for Eye of the Tiger is also in the game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That one had like
but,
a weird mariachi vibe to it, which was...
it did,
I gotta watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you gotta check it out. So anyway, if you have the demo, or I guess if you haven't played it yet, that demo is now obsolete. Like, just download this if all you want to do is check out the single player and don't want to compete, because it's all here. And then in conjunction with that, you have the challenges, where either every week there's a new challenge and every day there's a new challenge. That kind of range from get to the end of the level as quick as possible, collect a certain number of looms as fast as possible, or just survive as long as you can, which are my favorite, I think. Just because they can go on so much longer. These really short ones are great, but it's just like it's over so quickly. And it feels like there's only so good you can do. Like, you're only going to get down to a certain amount of time. When it's like get as far as you can, you feel like you can keep getting
further.
Yeah,
you can always add more and more to that. And when you're trying to shave your time down, you hit a lot of diminishing returns.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, I'm a tenth of a second faster than last time, but it doesn't feel any better, really.
Right, exactly. And you're always going to the same point. You never see anything new. It's all just about trying to, like, get that perfect run.
Less.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very good. And then there are leaderboards, worldwide leaderboards, as well as, your local friend leaderboards, which are where I think all the action is, because I don't care about...
Yeah, friend leaderboard is awesome.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, you just compete, and then you get your score. You look to see where Patrick's score is, and then you keep going until you
beat
it.
And then you cry. See, no, Scott keeps going until he beats it. I just sit there and look at it, and just I give up. I'm just like, well, I mean, I can sit here for a day, and by the time the challenge expires, I don't think I'll be halfway as far as Patrick and Scott are.
I guess yeah, we should say, for the record, that what the app's been out 6 or 7 days now, I think. Scott has beaten...
Well...
Isn't it 6 or 7 days?
It came out on Thursday. What's today? Wednesday? So, yeah, about seven days. But more than seven by the time you hear it.
I think you've
beaten
me all but one of those days for the daily challenge.
Wow. I've only played the last 3 days, so...
Have you? I missed Saturdays. I didn't play at all. And then you did go back and... Well, you beat me in the weekly challenge. And then I think you did beat me on one more daily one. You went back and did it.
I remember the one day you posted a picture on Twitter, and I promptly... went and beat your score, go to bed feeling all happy, wake up and see you sent me another picture.
Beating it, yeah. I said, I have it a little bit easier than you because you are an hour, you know, you're in the Eastern time zone, I'm Central. So yeah, usually you're in bed, whereas like I might still be trying to play before bed.
Playing it in bed the other night on the gamepad.
Oh, there you awesome go. Fun. Yeah, that's the way to do it. And I wanted to ask you guys, one cool feature, too, is you can actually play most of these anyway cooperatively, which is really cool. Have either of you tried to do that, or you do it with
I haven't,
AI controlling?
And Patrick said to me earlier.
I didn't yet.
So you'll have to tell us about it.
Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's like, I don't know, there's pros and cons both ways, because with the computer, like let's, for example, say the ones where you just have to get as far as you can before dying. You know, the computer is, like, perfect. She's never going to, like, miss a jump or... You know, like not land something, and it's always exactly the same each time. But that given, like the computer won't
doesn't run.
It seems
right?
And the computer seems to like not try to help you out. So like if you don't move a platform far enough, the computer won't like float jump to try to like make the jump. She's just gonna always jump and land in the same spot. And if you're not there, then she just dies. Even though she could make it the whole way if she tried. Whereas when you play with your, you know, like a human counterpart, you guys can kind of talk and you could say, oh, fuck, didn't move it. And then they'll be like, okay. And they'll sort of on the fly adjust and make jumps that the computer wouldn't make. But on the flip side, like there's always now that room for human error where it's like the human, you know, your partner just sort of loses momentum and then doesn't make a pretty routine jump that the computer is going to make every single time, you know, or runs into a spike that the computer is never going to hit. So there's catches both ways, but I'm having a lot of fun. Tabby and I have, you know, played together every night and have just made our vendetta
to beat
Patrick.
And that's in the
weekly
challenge where one of you is Murphy and messing with the level?
Yeah, and the daily one.
Oh,
the
daily one
where you
too?
Can be, yeah, where you can be Murphy. The only one you can't do it, which I was really surprised, is I just unlocked the second level of awesomeness, which in the game, as you do things in the demo levels and in the challenges, you unlock levels of awesomeness that then unlock new challenges for each day and week. In the like really extreme difficult daily challenge, it wouldn't let me play cooperative. You could only do it single player,
that's
which I thought was really weird. Yeah,
that awesomeness is hard to get, man.
It is.
I wish in the Murphy's Dungeons it would let you play as Rayman and let the computer take over as Murphy.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I like playing as Murphy. I think it's fun, but I think it'd be a lot more fun if I had someone to play it with. Maybe I can harangue Amanda into it.
Yeah, you should try it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you'll have to kind of get used to just the, like, you know, like, the physics of
Rayman are so weird.
Yeah, it's not like Mario. Like, the Rayman is so much, like, weightier, and momentum plays a huge role.
But then it
role.
Also floats. Like, if you punch in midair, you just stop moving.
Right, that's true, yeah. And you can't float jump. I mean, you can, like, float to safety. So, yeah, it's really fun that way, though. We're having fun playing it cooperatively and trying to go through as much as we can that way, so... Has been fun. But then the cooperative mode totally breaks when it's one of the levels where it's like, get to the end as quickly as possible because you're just hurrying so much, one person's always going to get left behind. You know, like, hits a little bit of a wall and then just dies because the screen, you know, comes by and crushes them as you keep going. So it doesn't always work, but I find the Murphy Dungeon ones are perfect for it. Anyway, I think, too, it's kind of interesting. Like, obviously, there must just be some sort of, I don't know, like, equation they have or, like, functions that sort of put these levels together. Because especially the ones where you just get as far as you can before dying, you notice similar, like, parts. And they're just sort of strung together randomly each day. Like, you notice patterns. Like, there's always ones, like, where you slice the, like, big spiked ball out of the air. And then, like, looms come to make, like, a little, like, I don't know, a little sort of, like, half-U shape.
Right.
I've noticed all of the Murphy dungeon levels so far have started with the same kind of, you have to flip the switch right at the beginning to raise
the first switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So it's like these, a bunch of interchangeable parts that just sort of randomly string together.
Yeah. And they seem to be, they must have graded the parts on difficulty because some of them don't show up And then they seem to show up more and more as the levels get on and
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of cool. And then you kind of get better then as you're using it every single day because you, as soon as you get to a part, you're like, oh, okay, this is the part where I do this.
Yeah.
Except for, like you said, the later parts that you just don't see as much because you're not getting that.
Because I'm not as good as you guys.
Well, even, I mean, once you get over, like, 1,200 meters, like, it really, I mean, I feel like I see something new each day. There's something, like, crazy that I'm like, what do I do? And then I can't figure it out in, like, the split second I need to, and then that's what kills me. Yeah, I don't know. What else to say about it? I mean, I guess there's some extra little things in it. You know, you collect looms throughout the levels, and then you can use those to unlock new characters to play as.
I just got I'm playing as the goth teeny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we just unlocked that one, yeah.
It's funny.
Which is pretty cool, you know, just being a little...
You know, yeah, and there's a lot of fucking characters to unlock. It seems like they've spaced it out, so if they support this up until the launch of the game, it's going to take some people, if you're just playing it, you know, like maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day, it's going to take you until the game comes out to, like, unlock most of these characters.
Right, whereas, like, me and I unlocked all of them.
Yeah, I have all of them already.
I got the last one 2 days ago.
When you win gold trophies, it gives you, like, 5,000 looms, you just unlock them very, very quickly.
I gotta go back and finish the trophies in the demo levels.
Yeah, that's how I got a lot of them, too.
I need to get the golds. I've got silvers on the first two and gold on Castle Rock.
And, I mean, honestly, just by, like, playing levels over and over and over to try to beat some of Patrick's scores, like, they just accumulate. I mean, you're getting, like, 200 or 300 each time. And those, like, Murphy ones where you're just living as long as you can. And then, you know, you do it 10 times and you've got 3,000
Plus, if it's the Murphy mode, you touch all the lums and double their points up.
Exactly, yeah. So it totally adds up. But I thought that was cool, you know, just a nice little, like, feature to kind of give it a little bit more lifespan, if you will. So
one of the things I really love about the levels, in particular some of the levels more so than others, when you're, say, trying to get somewhere as quickly as possible, there are the ghosts that you can see. And I think it's really cool that they kind of show you how to do better, because they're always faster than whatever record time you have set.
Yeah.
But they're close.
They're always very close. It's like the four next people on the leaderboard or something.
So it's like you can see how they're doing it, you do it just a little bit better, and then you get someone else who shows you maybe a new mechanic. Like the first day I did it, I learned that when punching while you're running on a flat surface, you actually run a little bit
faster. Kind of dash forward, yeah.
Yeah. And then you can even punch and then do a light jump, and it pushes you ahead even a little further.
Absolutely.
You got to game the system.
It was really interesting. It was like an hour where I'm just like learning something new every couple minutes because I just beat the time a little bit more.
And watch the ghosts each time, which is really cool. What's nice, too, is you can turn them off, because I find like in some levels, like the Murphy levels, they get really distracting. Yeah.
If someone's ahead of you, end up sliding a platform, maybe.
For them, and not the real one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just transfixed on the gamepad in that mode. Like, I don't even know there is a television, essentially. I just have to stare at it.
I mean, you have to be, especially the Murphy stuff. Yeah, you have to be looking at the gamepad the whole time. But, yeah, really cool. I mean, I'm very happy with it. I would love more to have the full game out now, but this is a nice little free, you know, distraction, and it is fun, and it kind of fills that void that Runner 2 left after we kind of all, you know, made our way through that.
This game is this demo challenge is whatever the thing you want to call it. Like, I'm not that into Rayman, and I thought the demo was kind of neat, but now I'm playing this, and I'm kind of liking it, and I think I might end up getting this game. Like, I was not interested, like, when this game got delayed, I was just like, I don't care, I wasn't going to get it anyway, but the more I play of it, the more I, like, think I might end up getting it. It's really fun, and the art and the music are insanely good.
Oh, they're very good.
Beautiful.
You never played Rayman Origins?
No.
Oh, you should find it cheap for, like, PS3 or 360.
I should find it. If it looks as good as this does, which I'm sure it does.
It does,
it's
yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, just don't get the Wii version, obviously. But, the PS3 and 360 version look great. I mean, it's the same stuff, same sense of humor, same great music. Just really well executed.
Just a weird,
really loved it.
It's very, you can tell how incredibly French it is.
Yeah, it definitely has a French sense of humor, that's for sure. But good stuff. So, I don't know, anyone else have anything they want to say about the Challenges app?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I can't wait for the full game app.
Yeah, me neither. So if you haven't downloaded this yet, do it. And you haven't added us on your, like, Miiverse friends list yet, you should do that too. We've done it plenty of times, but let's go through and give our names if people want to friend us to compete with us. I'm okay soda, as in everything.
Mine's Striker Obi, Striker Obi.
I am Papatch 15, PAPATCH 15.
If you're gonna add anyone, I suggest it's Patrick, and you just beat his scores. That's
don't add me. I mean, you can add me if you want to feel impressive when you beat my awful times and scores.
Scott really just wants to make me feel more sad, so I go to sleep crying every night.
It has become my goal in life.
You two just inspire no hope in me. I'm just never going to be that good.
Patrick, did you read my impressions for the
I did. I was going to reply on Twitter. I was going to be like, he mentions me 3 or 4 times. That must mean I'm famous.
I do. That's my whole goal. Well, Zach, like, volunteered me to write the impressions. I was like, well, okay, I'm going to have some fun with this. I made sure to mention beating your scores, yeah, at least a handful of times in it. So, because that's the only reason I play.
After all that, after the Runner 2 fiasco, I can see why you would want revenge.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, because at least I have a chance in this. I never really, like, was able to compete much in Runner 2.
In
yeah.
Runner 2, did you ever get to dancing?
I didn't.
That was your problem. You need to get to that, and then...
Wow, you didn't get very far at all. Even I got to dancing.
See, the problem was, is I would enter a level, and I would see, like, you know, like, Patrick's score, or, you know, whoever who was on top, and then I would just want to beat it.
Yeah, you have to get to dancing, because then you can go back and dance those old levels.
Dancing's right at the beginning of World 2, so you should go back and do that.
I needed to let that go, but I had the hardest time progressing without, like, beating scores, so then I just completely stopped, but I do need to get back to it. I really like it, but that's that. So, yeah, Patrick, Mike, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
See ya.
Zachary Miller here at Nintendo World Port Connectivity, along with co-host Scott Thompson.
Hello!
There we go. And Neil Ronahan.
Hello!
Oh, Jesus. And we're going to be talking about Injustice, Gods Among Us. Yep, yep. Also known as Injustice Lords, the video game.
Yeah, well, weren't they just the Justice Lords? They weren't the Injustice Lords.
No, you're right. They are just the Justice Lords. But it's called Injustice, so I threw that in there.
I mean, that's because what they're doing is wrong.
Right. Well, are they? According to them, what they're doing is right.
It's not right, Zach. It's wrong. I mean, that's what we believe, right?
Yeah, whose side are you on, Zach?
Is it right or wrong? Or is it left?
It's up. So this is a fighting game starring the DC, universe. Kind of a step away from Mortal Kombat versus the DC Universe, made by the same people at NetherRealm. And it's structured a lot more like the recent Mortal Kombat reboot, in that you've got this very interesting story mode. You go through it with multiple characters, and then you've got a ton of different battles and challenges. And online fighting, it's really good. By the time you hear this, you can read my review. I gave it an 8.5.
Yeah, it is really good, and much like the Mortal Kombat reboot, there is a ton to do. We were just talking about this game a few weeks ago, and we didn't really know too much about it.
Yeah, I think I was all
Yeah, you were, because you and I were talking about it, and you know, we were like talking about how hopeful we were for the story mode, just because the Mortal Kombat one was so good, and all the extras and stuff to unlock, and kind of like challenge modes and stuff, and this game totally delivers on all of that. Like seriously, if you liked the Mortal Kombat reboot from 2011... just play this. You don't even have to be a DC fan. Like, I wrote in my my little.
Although
like,
it really helps.
It helps for sure. I mean, if you're a huge DC fan, then like you should play this game regardless. But
I think like if you were a fan of Batman and Superman and all that jazz, like even if you don't like fighting games, this game's worth.
Yeah, and if you like fighting games and you're not like super familiar with those characters, to me it doesn't even matter because I look at the roster and I don't know half the people on it. Like if you gave me a name, I couldn't point to a picture of the character and say that's who that is for about half these people. But it doesn't matter because I just love the fighting system so much and the story mode, and there's enough familiar characters there and just sort of cool themes that it's not an issue for me whatsoever.
Yeah, the fighting system is nicely simplified.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of that crap, you know, Street Fighter 4 stuff. It's not even really all that Mortal Kombat-y. It's kind of like down, back, Y, down, forward, Y, down, down, B, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can actually change something in the controls to make it more like Street Fighter.
You can, but why would you want to?
Where it's the quarter circles. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big fan of the way that Mortal Kombat has button inputs.
Yeah.
Although, as far as the button inputs go, they have some of the challenges in the Star Labs section, which is the challenge mode, or what was it, the challenge tower?
Combat tower.
Combat tower. But in this one, it'll have usually the first one for each character has you inputting a bunch of combos.
Right.
And I found the input on some of those combos to be very unintuitive in how they list them out in the move list, where it's just like, hit XXB, and I'll hit XXB in a variety of different ways. And I have no freaking idea what I'm doing.
Oh,
wrong.
I had the same.
Until I just.
I have the same problem in Mortal Kombat
until it clicks.
Yeah, you almost have to do it and watch the animation frames for things to trigger.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
I find too, unlike the Wii Remote and Classic Controller, which have I think great D-pads, the D-pad on the GamePad Pro and the the GamePad and the Pro Controller aren't like the most. Intuitive, I guess.
Not good for this game.
No.
And really, neither are the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
I accidentally jump a lot with the sticks.
I don't even use... The sticks is crazy. I never use the sticks. And, like,
do you remember the... what is it? Have you guys played the ISIS, the cat challenge where you need to... It's the cat in the cat...
Where you're, like, breaking into the museum? I haven't, no, but...
No.
Yeah. But there's one where you control her cat, and you're, like, avoiding guards and stuff. And I was doing that with the D-pad, and it gets frustrating because I was trying to get the challenges where, like, you don't go backwards as a cat, mm-hmm. Which is one of the most common challenges I find throughout all of Star Labs is do not go backwards as this character.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I was doing it with the D-pad and was like, oh, I'll try the analog stick. Maybe that'll be better. And then I just jumped, like, four times in a row and then got caught.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that was a fun experiment. I'll go back to the D-pad.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if the classic controller is supported. Probably not, but I should check because I think the D-pad on the classic controller would be a little bit better for this. I like the D-pad better.
Having just used the classic controller for Pandora's Tower, the D-pad on that is way better than the gamepad.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it's not even like the gamepad one is like terrible. It's just for precision.
Yeah,
it's
a little too floaty.
Right, I find I accidentally jump a lot. Like sometimes I have a lot of hard times like activating special moves. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there, I guess.
I feel like we're nitpicking a lot of the
we
game
are
because the content there is there's just a whole ton of it. And the story mode's really cool. They have. I mean, it's the same way that it's integrated in Mortal Kombat, where it's kind of like the cutscenes flow into the fights
mm-hmm.
very eloquently. You go from character to character, like, you know, you'll have, like, I think four or five fights per character usually, and it you know, flows really nicely. There's a good pace.
And I think it is important to stress how the fights just flow into cutscenes and then back into fights. You know, like, if you're envisioning, like, old-school Mortal Kombat where you're going up, like, a tower, you know, your little portrait moves up a tower to
the
next
enemy.
Well,
that's still in the game.
Well, yeah, you can do that stuff. Like, there's that classic mode. But this story mode, I mean, it really is, like, you'll watch this great cutscene with just a bunch of events happening. It leads directly into a fight. Your character score off with no loading whatsoever. Like, it's seamless. And then the fight ends, and like, your character just begins his next, like, conversation with whoever right there at the end of the fight. Like, it's all seamless.
Yeah.
It's really great.
And they have those really cool, kind of like the, I mean, they're QTEs, but they're usually done in a really cool way because it's cinematic, which is, I mean, that's usually good QTEs. You don't hear people complain about them because they're well integrated when they're like that, where it's like, well, there's one where you're Green Arrow and it's basically a first-person shooter, which is kind of neat. And there's other ones where I know I did one recently where it was Batman going after a Green Arrow who's shooting arrows at him, and you had to, like, you know, just hit button presses.
To knock the arrows away, yeah, or to dodge them even, yeah, which is really cool. But yeah, it's just great. And the actual story, I think, is really, really, really incredible. I mean, you have this world where Superman is tricked into killing a pregnant Lois Lane by the Joker. He thinks he's fighting Doomsday, and he kills her. And he just goes insane, and he kills the Joker, and then he just begins to rule the Earth, like, under an iron fist, and, like, rooting out all evil, and just running the Earth as a dictatorship. And then so you have this parallel universe where those heroes come through this, you know, whatever, worm or dimensional gate or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it doesn't really
boom
matter.
Boom tube.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got Batman and Green Arrow and all those people.
Tube. I know, it's not a boom tube.
And they come through to stop Superman. So you're fighting these heroes who have aligned with Superman, and you're also fighting alongside other heroes and villains who have banded together to stop Superman in this universe. It's really, really cool.
And it's written really well.
Yeah. And I'm surprised. I mean, I guess it's just the DC stuff. If you listen to Fat Man on Batman, they've talked to this a couple times. For anyone who's interested in the DC universe, I cannot recommend the Kevin Smith podcast Fat Man on Batman enough. Because it has a lot of good stuff with a lot of people involved in this very game and the wider DC universe. And I mean, it's kind of a show that Warner Brothers kind of understands what they're doing as far as making video games that fall in line with the characters in the comics more.
If only they could make movies like this.
Yeah, well, I think they're going in that direction. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah, this would make a really cool movie.
But we haven't even really talked about the fighting itself. I mean, it's different from, like, I mean, Mortal Kombat in the sense that you don't, like, win rounds. It's just you have...
It's like Killer Instinct.
Yeah, you have two full life bars, and when you get down, when you knock off one, then it kind of, like, resets.
Right.
And then, I mean, other than that, you have different special abilities and everything, and one of the really cool things about this game is that you can interact with the environment a whole lot, so you'll kind of want to always keep an eye up near your life bar, or you'll just instinctually know as you learn the levels that, like, if you hit a button, you'll be able to knock the person into the background and have them ricochet off of something.
Or smash them with a car.
A robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's all really cool, and depending on the character, you'll do different things with them, because they're basically, I think they're broken up into, like, gadget characters like Batman, and then, like, more, like, strength characters like Superman.
Right.
So, like, you know, Superman will pick up a car and throw it, where Batman will, like,
jump off it
or something. And there's... I believe there's more. I think there's more than just the two different character types, because I've seen more interactions.
Yeah.
With the items, and then you can even very easily just kind of knock a person off the stage, and then you'll change the area where you are in that stage.
Not only do you knock them off the stage, I mean the transitions from stages are so elaborate.
Yeah, well, and sometimes they're a little too long.
No,
if you're going between them.
That's so fun to watch, though. It's so over the top. The whole game is over the top.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the special moves in a second, which I think is where the over the topness hits like its peak. But the level transitions are really great, I think, and well utilized. And like you said, the stages are just so interactive. I mean, each stage has like a life of its own, and it's a lot of fun to play on any of them, I think. But yeah, what do you guys think about the special moves there? Each character has like a super move where you power up this gauge enough by using your special attacks, and then just by pressing L and R triggers, you activate it. So it's really simple. It's not like a big combo you have to press or anything. You just press two buttons, and if you hit with your next attack, then you execute it.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, my first experience of this game was that I downloaded the demo on PlayStation 3. Don't know why it's not up on Wii U. Just minor complaint. But I just kind of jumped into it, and if you listen to the past connectivity episode, that was all I knew, really. So I'm playing as Batman, and I'm like, oh, special move. I wonder what that does, and does that. And what happens is, like, you plant a bomb on someone's back and, like, punch him a little bit, and then you jump up and do a backflip, and the Batmobile comes and hits them. And I was just like,
right. Well, and then you also, like, grab two stun guns and stun him in the neck.
Zap him.
And then he grabs out, like, a little, like, communicator, presses some buttons. Yeah. Then he hits him a few times, backflips into the air, Batmobile comes through, and then just smashes into him. It's incredible. And it was, like, slow-mo.
So immediately after that, I checked out, and, like, Lex Luthor is a fucking spirit bomb.
Yeah, I love that.
I know Aquaman's is probably the best
shark attack
ever. Yeah, it's like he summons the hordes and then stabs the other character with a trident and then lifts them up in the air and a shark eats them.
Nightwing just blows by everybody on his bike, just bam, bam, bam.
I still haven't even seen them all.
I haven't either.
Me neither.
Because I played about fucking 4 hours of the game one night before I sent the review copy to Zach, so that way we could have some first-day impressions, because we got the review copy a little late. But then there was a sale at Toys R Us that will be over by the time you hear this, probably. But I got it for $35.
Ooh, that's a really good deal. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm really digging it, and I can't wait to play more. I'm still working my way through the story mode.
Yeah, the presentation's just great. I mean, it's really, you know, you think of a fighting game, and you really think just like competing against friends or people online, or you know, just competitively in a, like a multiplayer fashion. But there's so much to do single player, which I think is great, because I have no interest in like getting great at this game and competing against real people. But just having the story mode, the classic sort of ladder mode, the you know, the challenges, all the unlockables. I mean, there's just so much to do. It's really impeccable. And
I enjoyed kicking Neil's ass online last night. That was great.
Hey, it was closer than you thought. And keep in mind, I played the game, 2 weeks ago? That was my first time playing it.
Son, I wasn't playing as Aquaman to give you a break. Yep. Exactly. Aquaman's the secret best character.
I mean, I was having a good time with Shazam, who I love.
Yeah,
he used
is good.
To be Captain Marvel, and now they're renaming him Shazam, which is news to me.
In the whole universe?
Yeah, in the New 52, not Captain Marvel. He is now Shazam.
Is that because of the allusion to Marvel comics?
No, I mean, well, that's part of the reason why he was Captain Marvel in the first place, I think.
Oh, really?
But I'm not... I've never really been too interested in that character, so I'm probably wrong on that. But I know there's some copyright bullshit as to why he's called Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I liked him in all the DCAU appearances he's made, even Young Justice. That's why I like him.
He's fantastic in Young Justice. He's voiced by Rob Lowe
yes.
in Young Justice.
Oh, nice. So
just think of what you will.
That's awesome.
The only thing that disappoints me about the character selection is that Green Lantern, you know, and Sinestro, you know, really, I mean, they both have the same power set. Black Adam and Shazam are both kind of the same guy. And then Killer Frost and Ares are just so out of place. It's like you've got all these big names and then these two.
I mean, I think a lot of it was kind of dictated by maybe the DC brass. I know that, like, NetherRealm did have some control over it, but I heard something about how Ares is apparently a bigger factor into like Wonder Woman stories now.
That kind of makes sense
why he was included. And that's why Cyborg's jammed down everyone's throats, because he's in the Justice
League. He's actually kind of cool in this game. I like him.
Yeah.
This might be the first time I've given a crap about Cyborg. there's going to be, you know, I don't know what their plan for the Wii U is, but there's going to be 4 downloadable characters. First one is Lobo, which is, you know what, if he is not voiced by Brad Garrett, I'm just going to be angry.
Yeah. Well, as far as the DLC goes, on the back of the box, it says yes.
Right.
In previous messaging, I don't think Warner Brothers has directly stated it, but Nintendo has said it during Nintendo Directs. And when we got the official confirmation of Lobo as the first character to be DLC, I think this was yesterday as of recording, I sent an email off to the PR rep and still have not heard back. Basically, my email was just like, yeah, this is coming to Wii U, right? Right?
Guys?
Coincidentally, I also sent the similar type of email to Activision after they announced the new Call of Duty and did not list Wii U. And I'm just like, come on, guys. Please, God.
Yeah.
I hope it, geez, that would suck if Wii U suddenly wasn't getting Call of Duty or Madden.
Well, it's not getting Madden anymore. It's breaking news as we're talking about this, but yeah, Madden's skipping Wii U. But Injustice is on it, and that's great.
Yes. Very, very good game. I don't know. I don't really have much more to say about it. What about you guys?
I have one more thing to say.
Go.
Wonder Woman looks stupid.
She does.
She looks terrible in this game.
I will say maybe that's one, and you can unlock, you know, extra costumes and change people around, which is good.
Really, not that many extra costumes.
Well, but still, at least there's some.
Most of them are pre-order bonuses.
That's true.
That the Wii U doesn't have access
to. That's true. But the default costumes, some of them are kind of lame, I will say.
Harley Quinn, I think it's through DLC, but there will be a Harley Quinn animated series.
Yes,
I would hope so.
I think I would actually, I would, I would buy that for $1.
I'd buy that because her other costumes in this game are terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
I like how they have the good world, or what is it? The insurgency costume or whatever. It's like her looking kind of slutty, and then like the evil version of her is just like her looking even sluttier.
That's how it works.
That's how you know she's really bad.
I do like how in one of the transitional stages, this is kind of off the top of my head, you get to see all the Arkham City villains. And they smash the dude up. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of winks and nods. Martian Manhunter's just sitting in the background being like, they wouldn't let me in the game.
Yeah, there are a lot of, like, little bonus characters to see.
Gorilla Grodd is, like, being, like, attacked in the background of, I think, Themyscira.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you know what? I didn't notice that, but I noticed him in the end credits. Because they show stills from the game in the end credits. I was like, Grodd is in this?
Yeah.
He'd be a good DLC character.
So there you go. I think if you're a fighting game fan, and especially if you liked the Mortal Kombat reboot, I think you should give this a try. If you're a DC fan, you really don't have any excuse. This is like candy for you. It's so good. So good.
So good.
Yep.
So that's
all right.
It.
Yeah, check it out. And if you check it out, maybe they'll patch in friend battles, and we can do a friend King of the Hill or something.
Yes.
So yeah. Let us know in the talkback thread. Or hit us up on Twitter or email us at connectivity@nintendoreport.com and let us know if you got Injustice on Wii U, because maybe we'll do something where we all play.
Yes.
Yeah, community night for the win.
Woo-hoo.
Yay.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Alright, that will do it for episode 84 of Connectivity. As always, you can send us listener mail to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't already. We greatly appreciate all the feedback. And be sure to follow all of us on Twitter. Go to nintendoreport.com, look for the Twitter sidebar on the right side of the page, and you'll find all our usernames there. Now be sure to stick around for a bonus segment all about the ongoing NHL playoffs. Segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today I'm with JP Corbin.
Hello.
And special guest Donald Terrio.
Hi. I'm glad to be here and glad that they finally made an economic arrangement that lets Toronto into the playoffs.
A lot of money must have exchanged hands. And based on that, you might have guessed we're going to be talking all about the upcoming NHL playoffs. Although I guess by the time you're hearing this, it'll be the ongoing NHL playoffs. Each series will probably be about two games deep by this point.
But they go on forever, so there's still a ton of them left by the time you hear this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it shouldn't be a problem.
And because of the season, they could still be playing on June 28th.
Yeah, that's like the very last day it could be going, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. And then the draft would be the next week, which is crazy. We're going to go through the different matchups, in the Eastern and Western Conference, talk about the two teams that are playing, give our prediction about who will advance, and just sort of be sad for JP because his team didn't make it. Let's start in the Eastern Conference, and we'll start with the number one in the number eight seeds. That's Pittsburgh Penguins against the New York Islanders. JP, I imagine you have some vested interest in this because
I am invested in this. Yes, I was like, this is since my Flyers did not make the playoffs, my favorite team is everyone that's not Pittsburgh.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty confident that Pittsburgh will advance. Although the Islanders' top line's really burst out this year, especially Tavares is finally finally had a good enough season. He's been able to basically carry the Islanders into the playoffs. But even with Crosby out of the lineup for probably the first couple of games, I really doubt that Pittsburgh's going to go down in this one.
Now, is Crosby still out? Have they ruled him out for the first couple of games? Do we know?
They don't know. He's not. I don't believe he's been cleared yet to play as of this recording. Wow. So there's no timetable yet for his return. But it'll probably be late in this series, or probably the first game of the second round.
Okay. Yeah, but like you said, even without him, I mean, the Penguins are just so deep offensively.
I want them to lose, but if they're going to lose, it's most likely not going to be at this series.
Right. I mean, you kind of hope for maybe like the LA Kings thing last year, where the eighth seed all of a sudden is just knocking out everybody. But
it happens all the time in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, your Flyers did it in 2010.
No, we were. We were seven. Montreal did it though. Montreal. It was that year. The Eastern Conference Final was Montreal and Philadelphia.
Yeah,
it was
7-8. Which is pretty unbelievable.
If my team can't make it, though, I'm hoping for Pittsburgh. Just between the fact that I'd like to actually be able to go to a Stanley Cup parade, since Sidney Crosby lives just down the street from me in the off season, and the fact that Jerome McGinley is playing for Pittsburgh now, and he has yet to win a cup despite being in the league since I was in elementary school.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming for him. So that'll be pretty exciting for him, I'm sure. In fact, the Flames haven't been in the playoffs when he was with the Flames since 2009.
Yeah.
So it's been a few years for him, and I'm sure he's raring to go. It's just such a dangerous team. I can't believe they got Iginla over there. It's pretty amazing.
Iginla and Brendan Morrow from...
And Morrow, yeah, that's right.
From Dallas, so they are loaded offensively. I'm just worried that hopefully Marc-Andre Fleury will be good Fleury instead of, well, what we saw last year in the playoffs with him.
Yeah, and you really just never know with that guy. So, all right, well, yeah. So I guess predictions, everyone's going Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so the next matchup will go 2-7 in the East, and that's the Montreal Canadiens and the Ottawa Senators.
Yes, the series in which I root for a tie so that nobody advances.
I'm not up on my rivalries in the Eastern Conference. I mean, are Ottawa and Montreal big rivals of Toronto then?
Yeah, this is like asking if you prefer to be shot in the left knee or the right.
Okay.
For a Toronto fan.
This is fascinating for someone who mostly follows the Western Conference, myself here, because, I mean, to me, like, Montreal and Ottawa are just these two, like, innocuous teams. Like, neither of them strikes me as, like, a team anyone would hate, outside of just being, you know, the natural rival of your favorite team, but.
Yeah, and here's the thing, because there hasn't been a Stanley Cup winner in Canada since 1993, so you would think that I would be rooting for every Canadian team regardless, but I can't root for Ottawa because I grew sick of them after at least played them 4 times in 6 years. Mm-hmm. I can't root for Montreal in general principles, and we'll cover Vancouver later, but I'd rather not root for the Swedish men's diving team.
I'll approve of that one. Ottawa, pretty amazing that Carlson's back so quickly.
I wonder if some of that is either artificial or really, really good Canadian healthcare, because you hear about Achilles injuries, like Kobe Bryant going up for 6 months with an Achilles, and he's back in 2.5. What did he do? Dip into Ray Lewis's deer antler spray?
He's just going to come back and set all kinds of records in the playoffs now and just be unbelievable.
When he had his first game back on last Thursday, he played 30 minutes on a torn Achilles. That's inhuman.
Yeah, and not only, I mean, like, with Kobe, I mean, he tore it, but I mean, he had his cut with a skate. I mean, like, what they say, a 70% cut.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really unbelievable. I mean, at the time, I think they ruled him out for, like, the rest of the season.
Yeah, and that was Ottawa's problem all year. It was, like, they lost their starting goalie, Craig Anderson, for a couple of months. They've lost one of their top scorers, Jason Spezza. He's out until end of next month at the earliest, if Ottawa makes it that far, and everybody.
Oh, wow.
And when Carlson went out, everyone thought Ottawa's done, and at least yet every person they called up suddenly turned into a Calder Trophy candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to even be in that seventh seed is really impeccable, and I think it's, you know, you kind of have to tip your hat to them to be in that position and still get in. And now, you know, you're getting players back, and you know, they're in good shape. And then what about, tell me about Montreal. Again, this is a team, like, this is probably the one team in the East I absolutely just know nothing about.
Montreal really came out of nowhere because they actually finished last in the Eastern Conference last year.
That's right, yeah.
So they, but they got, Carey Price suddenly had 35 games of being a of being the best goalie in the league, and they, after a contract dispute, PK Subban came back and nearly led the team in scoring for the season, despite missing first 2 weeks of the season. So this is going to probably be a very low scoring series, and unfortunately for me, it's going to be a very long series. I'm thinking 7 games either way, but I'm leaning toward Montreal just because I can't help but think that, well, partially because I'd like to see a Montreal-Toronto at some point in these playoffs, but I think that Ottawa's lack of offense this season, I think they're the lowest scoring team that's still in it. I think Carey Price will right the ship and they'll end up going 7 games before Ottawa bows out.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it going deep. And not knowing too much about either team, but it just does seem like Montreal, as long as Carey Price is in the zone, should get by. But we'll see. But you have to remember too, Ottawa's seeding is kind of misleading because, like we said, you know, your starting goalie's out, your best defenseman's out. You know, so that 7th seed, they're probably not really a 7th seed.
But I have a friend who's a Senators fan for some strange reason. Senators fan living in Northwest Ohio or Northwest Pennsylvania for whatever reason. But he's a Senators fan, so I've been hearing about them all season, so I'm perfectly aware of everything they've had to go through.
Donald, do like people in Canada really, do they love when it's two Canadian teams battling out in the playoffs? Is that especially exciting? Or?
Yeah, like see with the two broadcasters up here that have the NHL rights, it was pretty obvious that CBC, the national broadcaster, was going to grab a series with two Canadian teams in it. This is the first time I think Montreal and Ottawa have met in a playoff series since the 20s.
Wow!
Because Ottawa was out of the league for so long.
Yeah, yeah, Ottawa didn't exist until the early 90s.
Yeah.
For a while, pretty soon after that.
Yeah. So this is interesting because it's, you know, the seat of English Canada versus sort of the seat of French Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the extra political intrigue in there as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, that'll be exciting up north then. Huh. All right. Well, I think we're all going Montreal on that, but it should be a fun one. Let's move on to the next one then. We have the Washington Capitals against the New York Rangers. Once again, they've met, I think this is like 3 years in a row now they've met.
Yeah.
Or it's 3 and 4 at least. I think, the Rangers bounced the Capitals in 7 games last year. So what do we think? The Capitals kind of came out of nowhere. They started the season just like abysmally, and they were just at the bottom of the standings. And then all of a sudden, Ovechkin just decided he wanted to start playing and scoring goals again, and now they won their division. Although it is a really crappy division, but still. I mean, when your main competition is a really bad Jets team, then you're pretty much you're pretty much set to win.
Enjoy the Jets next season, Scott.
Oh, I can't wait. It's our new Blue Jackets. It's not max 2 points.
I wanted the Jets to win the division, if only so that there would forever be a banner in Winnipeg calling them the Southeast Division champions.
That would be really amazing. They had 2 years to do it. I remember you telling me that when we recorded our first ever. You did, so
it's a repeat for people who've been listening for a while.
And I would always think about that. And this year, as the Jets were winning that division,
they
for
almost
a little
did.
While,
they had it for a little while there.
I thought it was going to happen. You were going to get your wish.
But then you remember that they are still at heart the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah, just never good. And they're the resting place of like 4 of the championship-winning Blackhawks who just got shipped out to make room to under the cap. So, yeah. So that I always kind of like to keep an eye out on them just because of so many familiar names. But they are just really, really bad. But anywho, the roles are kind of reversed here. Last year, the Capitals sort of barely made it in, and the Rangers were predicted to go all the way. And now this year, the Rangers barely made it in, and the Capitals have sort of regained their form, I guess, from maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, and when Alexander Ovechkin suddenly realized that he was, in fact, Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, just started caring again, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that with Ovechkin was coaching, because I know he didn't really have a good relationship with the former Capitals coach, Dale Hunter, last season, who was playing him on a checking line at some point. So now that they've changed coaches in Washington, it frees up Ovechkin to go out and do what he does, which is score lots of goals in bunches, and I think that's going to really carry Washington in this series.
Not only that, I believe he would bench him after times. Like, if he wasn't happy with the way Ovechkin was playing last year, he would actually bench him and have him skip shifts.
Yeah.
Which is not something Ovechkin's probably ever done his entire life. So that was probably a little bit of a shock for him. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he's a little bit more freewheeling now. Like, Dale Hunter was for sure like a defensive specialist, and that got the Capitals very far because they were just blocking shots and playing incredible defense last year. And I just didn't really fit Ovechkin's style. And now it seems a little bit more like run and gun,
yeah.
Which I think is definitely much more fitting. And then the Rangers, I don't really know what the problem with the Rangers is. They got Nash. It was supposed to be like they were going to be unstoppable now with just an extra scoring threat, and it just didn't seem to come together. I mean, Nash scored a lot of goals. He's the leading scorer on the team with like 20-some-odd goals, but still.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they just never clicked, and it reached the point that the Rangers ended up shipping Marian Gaborik up to Columbus.
That's sort of
payback for the Nash trade.
Yeah, they swapped a lot of pieces. That's true. Yeah. I guess in a way they almost traded Nash for Gaborik, which I don't know who got the better of that end, but well, probably New York still. But
well, New York made the playoffs, so I think we can get yeah. that one. But
I guess so.
I've got someone that I chatted with quite a bit on Twitter who is a big Rangers fan, and he's been saying that they just haven't had scoring touch because, I mean, you say Nash led the team in scoring, that he barely got to 20 goals this season.
Yeah.
So I think because they've got an all-world goaltender in Henrik Lundqvist.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have trouble with Swedish names? But but aside from that, they just their scoring really wasn't there, and I think they're going to be caught out. Just Washington's going to have way too much firepower for them in the first round here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with that. I mean, it just I think Washington too. I'm going to say 7 games though. Those last few series between these two teams have gone deep, and I think it'll be that way again. But I think Washington will pull it out.
I think Washington in 6. I think.
Okay.
I think Braden Holtby for Washington will be able to steal a game that would end the series pretty quickly after that.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. And then the final matchup, which I think is the most interesting for me, is Boston and Toronto. This is going to be a fun one. Donald, obviously you are a Maple Leafs fan, so why don't you talk about what this series means a little bit? I mean, with Kessel and
because for two teams that are original six and haven't met in the playoffs since the 70s, there's a lot of recent history there just because a couple summers ago, Toronto basically worked out a deal with Boston whereby Toronto got Phil Kessel, who's their leading scorer. They had to give up 2 first-round picks for it. One of those picks ended up being 2nd overall because Toronto's goaltending until James Reimer came in has been, well, crap. And so they give up the 2nd pick, and then Boston goes out and wins the Stanley Cup that season.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2nd pick is Dougie Hamilton, who ends up being one of Boston's top defensemen, not named Zdeno Chara.
Mm-hmm.
So every time Sagan scores in Boston, they start chanting "Thank you, Kessel." And
I just feel bad for Kessel. Like, I remember too. I think that following year in the All-Star game, he was picked last.
Yeah, he was the
he had insult to injury.
Yeah, and he and Kessel's, of course, with the Toronto media, they are insane sometimes. And there's already a controversy that Phil Kessel didn't make himself available to the media on the day of.
I heard about that today, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously that'll be taken care of internally, or so they say. But the other problem is that when Toronto beat Boston late this season, it was the first time they'd done that in the last 2 years. And so I was hoping against hope down the stretch that Boston would win their final game of the regular season, which was last Sunday.
Yeah, it was the rescheduled game from the bombings.
Yeah, and that would put them in the 2 seed. Then, hey, Toronto, Montreal. But now we see Boston there. It's like, oh man, if Montreal was there, we could have easily made the 2nd round. If Boston's there, we are in big trouble.
So what puts the Maple Leafs in trouble, or what is more overpowering about the Bruins, would you say?
Well, for one thing, Zdeno Chara has this magic effect on Kessel where he seemingly disappears for entire games at a time. That, and recently Toronto has been outshot like 3-1. There's been several periods where they've had one shot.
Oh, God.
And so it is basically wearing out James Reimer, their starting goalie, to have to deal with 35, 40 shots a night going down the stretch.
Right. Yeah, and then I feel like that Boston offense is always... I mean, they haven't scored a ton this year, but it feels like there's always that threat. I mean, the last 2 years, they've just been like, they're everywhere, and it seems like every line has the chance to score.
Especially, they've got a lot of playoff experience having, you know, won the cup yeah. in 2011. So, and they've got at least three dangerous lines that can really score. And there's always the psychological problem for the Leafs of the inevitable goal from Seguin with assist from Dougie Hamilton and Tuukka Rask, the former Leaf goalie there, which, knowing Toronto's luck recently, will probably happen in overtime of a game.
Game 7, probably.
I was thinking game 1 myself. Actually, if they're going to do that, I just hope they get it over with quickly.
Yeah, just put you out of your misery right away and move on. So what are you predicting then? I mean, I know you don't want to like pick against your team, but so by all accounts, I mean, it sounds like you're leaning towards Boston.
Honestly, I have gone back and forth on this, but I'll go on record here. I think Toronto can do it in 6. I think game 2 in Boston, James Reimer can stand on his head, and then Toronto can sort of ride home ice advantage for the rest of the series, and that would get them the win in 6. I just hold out hope that the last time they had a lockout shortened season, the 5th seed in the East won the cup on a hot goalie. which is the exact position Toronto's in this year.
Well, there you go, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's going to be fun. I feel like the city of Toronto will just go crazy if they progress further in the playoffs than just the first round. Like, I don't know. I remember in 2010 when Montreal did beat the Capitals in the first round and then progressed, you know, past the second round, and just like images of just people like celebrating in the street and just like thousands and thousands of people.
Flip. Yeah, and there were similar scenes in Toronto when Toronto clinched the playoff spot. But
was there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping that we're not going to have like Toronto cop car Twitter account, but this is the same city that wants to turn the CN Tower into a giant goal light for the playoffs.
Which is incredible. I heard about that. That would be great. So yeah, JP, what do you think?
You know, it's kind of hard to bet against Boston. They're good. They're just really good. I mean, they're the 4 seed, but they're the 4 seed because they came in second in a really great division. You know, I think the one thing Toronto has going for it is they want this. This is huge for them. Whereas, you know, Boston won the cup a couple years ago. They of course want it, but it doesn't quite have the drive that wanting to win one in Toronto has. So I think it's going to be a close series. I think 6 or 7 games. I'm not sure which way it'll go.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I lean towards Boston, but really I haven't followed Toronto at all this year, so I could easily be surprised. But this is the one I'm most excited to watch, because I think it's the most likely, not to even really be an upset, because I don't think you'd call the 5th seed beating the 4th seed an upset, but I think it's the most just sort of random, you know, it's hard to just absolutely pick one, so I'm very excited for it. But I do lean slightly towards Boston, yeah. But we'll see.
And Boston does have that emotional possibility after everything that's happened there the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, that's true. But actually, since that's happened, I think they've only won like 1 or 2 games. I mean, they lost the few immediately after, and then they lost the makeup game last Sunday.
Part of that is the fact that they, because of everything that happened there, they had to reschedule 2 games. So they ended up playing 6 games in 9 nights at the end of the year. And there's a reason why they got an agreement from the NHL. We're not going to start you on Tuesday, even though we could. Because you need an extra day of rest to get ready for the playoffs.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, speaking of, we didn't mention it, but the scheduling for this first round is kind of wonky. I can't remember who it is. It's one of the teams in the East. They actually they play back to back the first and second game.
Yeah, I think Montreal is in that predicament, because I know their game one is Thursday.
Okay, so that must be it. Yeah, and then I know 4 of the matchups. If it went to 7 games, games 6 and 7 would be back to back. They're like all on like Saturdays and Sundays, which is pretty amazing. So we'll see. I mean, I guess you have a condensed schedule and you got to get it in. I mean, you don't want to play till July, so that's what you have to do. So we'll see. That'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting storyline if that happens. But let's move on to the Western Conference then. So we'll start from the top. We have the Blackhawks against the Wild, the 1-8 seed. Obviously, I follow the Blackhawks. That's my team. And the Wild, I don't think, are very good. Yeah, the Wild were supposed to be good. They went out and threw a lot of money at Suter and at Parise and
caused the lockout.
Yeah, exactly. Indirectly caused the lockout, or maybe directly. And we're supposed to really be on the, I don't know, on their way to really make a splash this year. And they started out that way. I mean, they were even leading the division for a while, which, like, I don't think Vancouver has not led that division in, like, 6 years for any amount of, like, time. But then things kind of fell apart. Like, the second half of the season, they just weren't the same team, and they barely made it in. I mean, they had two chances to secure their spot, and the second to last game, they lost 6-1 to the Oilers of all teams.
Yeah. Seeing what Chicago did earlier this season with a 24-game unbeaten streak, that I'm probably going to ride the Hawks in the West all the way to the Cup final. If they're that dominant, although, then again, this is the NHL. Being the President's Trophy winner doesn't always guarantee anything.
Yeah, usually doesn't guarantee anything, I would say. Right, and a lot of people are sort of looking at past history. The last time the Hawks won the President's Trophy was in '93, and then they were bounced in the first round by the Minnesota North Stars. So 20 years ago, Hawks in Minnesota, yep. Pretty interesting little tidbit there, but I don't think we're gonna have to worry about that this year.
No, yeah, I would say it's probably not.
I'm not saying they can't be bounced later, but not against this Wild team. There's just not enough there. I mean, the top defensive pairing with Suter is really good, as is like the top line with Parise and and Koivu. But like after that, all their following lines, both on offense and defense, just really aren't anything to write home about.
Yeah, I think this is the only series I've got tabbed for a sweep.
Okay, yeah, I'd love that. So yeah, I guess we're all going Chicago on this one. I could see it in 4, definitely no more than 5. This next one's pretty interesting. We have Anaheim at 2 and Detroit at 7. Detroit, 22 seasons in a row with making the playoffs, almost didn't happen. Same as the Wild, kind of had to eke in there on the very last day of the season.
I still don't even know how they got the 7th seed. I was kind of hoping they'd get the 8 just for Chicago-Detroit in the first round.
Now, see, that would have been good, especially the last season is them being division opponents before Detroit moves out east. Would have been really awesome. And trust me, people here were really hoping for that, too. But Minnesota flubbed it in the end. They couldn't win any games, and so they dropped to the 8th seed. But for as rough a season as Detroit had, they actually played really well against Anaheim this year, and I think they took 2 out of 3 against Anaheim, which I know regular season is not the same as the playoffs, but it's something to keep in mind. And this Anaheim team kind of came out of nowhere and sort of like quietly was really good this season.
Yeah. They were really hot down the stretch last year. It wasn't enough to get them in the playoffs, but for now this season, they've got two hot starting goalies that they can sub in at any time. So I see a lot of people picking actually Detroit in the series, and Anaheim's sort of the trendy upset pick, but I can't see it, frankly. I think Detroit's lost a lot with Nicholas Lidstrom retiring. That's really taken a lot of leadership out of that room, and I know Detroit has a lot of veterans, but I don't think it's going to be enough to overcome Anaheim's goaltending, quite frankly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, between Faust and then, Hiller. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, both really good goaltenders. Faust came out of nowhere. I mean, he called up from the minors and got a chance when Hiller was hurt, and then all of a sudden, he started quite a few games. I mean, he was very, very good for them. I mean, the Hawks played them a few times, and he was very aggravating. I will say Anaheim, actually probably the only team I think the Hawks didn't have a winning record against.
I think
they never beat them, actually.
Yeah, I think Vancouver managed to get 5 points out of Chicago as well.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. So those two teams. We'll see. I hope Anaheim gets bounced because that's probably the only team that really worries me as a Chicago fan. But I do think they'll get past Detroit. Like you said, just too depleted, just not enough there, and Anaheim's been just sort of quietly very good this season. So I got to go that route.
I could see this ending up like the, I think it was the Sharks and Wings last year, where Anaheim jumps out 3-0, Detroit wins a couple, but then Anaheim takes game six.
Yeah, it's just not enough. Yeah, I could definitely see that. JP, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I root for Anaheim. I mean, both because I think they're the better team and because I don't like Detroit. So,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I'm not very high on Detroit myself either. So, although if Detroit did make it through, then Chicago would play Detroit in the next round, which would also be awesome just to kind of end things on for a good rivalry. But we'll see what happens. Then we have Vancouver against San Jose.
Couple of teams with rapidly closing playoff windows. I think the Sharks' window is almost at the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they like even sort of retooled a little bit this year. Like I think they're almost entering that rebuilding phase. They've been at the top of the league for years and getting to the playoffs and just nothing happens for them. Made it to the Western Conference Finals against the Hawks in 2010 and were swept out and just haven't made it past the second round since.
Well, they made the conference final against Vancouver, actually, is their only previous playoff matchup in 2011. But
oh, that's right. The next year they did, too. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
And Vancouver won, I believe it was in five, with a series that was overshadowed more by some antics of the fans than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So, yeah, I agree with you. And then same with Vancouver. I mean, it's like they've been there. They've won a few President's Trophies. They're always right there. And for some reason, they just can't get it done in the playoffs. To be honest with you, I'm surprised it hasn't cost Alain Vigneault his job yet.
When you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, you get a bit of a longer leash. But
I guess so.
The big thing that everyone's worried about in Vancouver is who's going to be in goal. I mean, when you have a $9 million backup goaltender, there's probably something going wrong there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Which I think I'm kind of leaning towards the idea that maybe they'll just buy him out this summer with the amnesty clause that is in effect. I mean, it seems like they've tried to trade him, and I think they're not getting anything for him, or they can't find teams that are willing to take on that salary. So I think you just buy him out, you cut your losses, and you let him go. I mean, unless they really think they can get something valuable for him, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think they were trying to get. I think they had a deal. There was a framework of a deal in place with Toronto that would see Tyler Bozak and I believe a first round pick going the other way, but Toronto scuttled it.
Yep. Yeah. That was a big talk. Like, yeah, during the lockout, I remember. Which do you guys follow Luongo on Twitter?
I pick up his retweets from other members of the media.
It's so good. It's so great. But I remember he tweeted a picture during the lockout of like a shop in Toronto that had made Luongo Maple Leafs jerseys, and next to it was a Van Riemsdyk jersey, and he tweeted a picture of it, and he's like, man, they can barely even fit his name on the back of the jersey there, just kind of poking fun at the idea that he was going to be traded and stuff, like, well, not directly acknowledging it. And he's always like a good sport. I really used to hate Luongo as a Blackhawks fan. He's sort of enemy number one here for a while, but following him on Twitter has really made me just appreciate how funny he is.
Yeah.
And he's handling it well for as much as, like, for becoming a backup now when he doesn't want to. And he's, like, kind of watching these last great years of his career kind of dwindle away because he can't play. But
That'll help him in the trade negotiation or signing if he gets released, though, is the fact that he didn't, like, blow up and be kind of a jerk about it.
Exactly. It seems like he was a really good teammate about it.
Sure. He only faked running over Corey Schneider with a Zamboni.
In that video, yeah, which was great. Did you see that, JP?
No, I did not.
It's a really good, it was like produced by, TSN, I guess?
TSN, yeah.
And, it was this great video about the rivalry between him and Schneider, like trying to be the number one goalie for Vancouver. And they're like playing like pranks on each other and like trying to set each other up so the other guy gets the start and all this stuff. It was really good. Very funny stuff. But I agree. Well, Schneider is apparently hurt. They're saying he's day-to-day. He might not even start the series here against San Jose. So it looks like it is going to be Luongo.
Yeah. So,
you got a guy like Luongo coming off the bench. You're a decent showing.
You know, that's the thing. For as much as it sucks that they're paying $9 million to a guy to sit on the bench, I mean, when Schneider goes down, you have a world-class goalie coming in.
The guy won an Olympic gold medal a couple of years ago.
Yeah, see, this is a series that I don't really know what to think. Vancouver should win, but I could see San Jose pulling it out. I really could.
Yeah, I think San Jose's window is pretty much slammed shut here. I think Vancouver in five.
Okay. JP?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm with Donald there. I think San Jose is still in the playoffs, but I think they're not what they used to be. I don't think they can pull this out.
Okay. Well, for fun, then, I'm going to say San Jose in 7, and we'll just see what happens.
We have not picked many upsets in this so far. If you really look back at what we've been picking on these games, basically Toronto and then your pick of San Jose are the only are the only people who, like, and not even unanimous, just one person picked the upset. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, more than any other season, this just seems like it's going to be pretty by the numbers, at least the first round here.
See, I would have gone the other way. I would have figured the shortened season meant, you know, things could be a little more hectic, and it wasn't as settled as it maybe should be at this point.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess now that we've gotten here, like, seeing how dominant some teams are, like Pittsburgh and Chicago, I mean, it's just hard to... There's going to be no 1-8 upsets for sure.
Yeah, that would be extremely surprising.
And then, so the final matchup in the West here, we have the St. Louis Blues against the Los Angeles Kings, 4-5.
And I really can't tell the difference between these two, honestly.
There are a lot of similarities between the two. I mean, definitely two teams that at least seemingly preach defense first and then sort of capitalize on their offensive chances. I hate St. Louis, though, so I, like, default have to go with LA. I really, really hate the Blues. But this is going to be, like, a super physical series. I mean, for no Penguins and Flyers, I think this will probably be the most physically sort of abusive series of them all. The Blues just love to run at guys and hit guys, and Los Angeles definitely isn't afraid to follow suit with that.
St. Louis has its fair share of pest players, and I remember reading that these two teams have met 3 times in the playoffs, and all 3 series have ended in sweeps, including last year. But I think this one either I. Still tossing it up, but this is still going 7 either way.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out, really hard-fought series. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, because St. Louis apparently is putting their faith in Brian Elliott, the same Brian Elliott who last year collapsed in the playoffs and couldn't even give the Blues a chance to win.
Yeah, my best line about I've heard about this series is from Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoe. He said, that mysterious switch in the St. Louis dressing room is what turns switches between Brian Elliott, awesome goaltender, and Brian Elliott.
Absolutely. I mean, last year especially, I mean, he was a great in that tandem with him and Halak, and he seemed like he was just going to be this elite goaltender, and then the playoffs came around, and Halak got hurt, and he came in, and he just couldn't stop anything. I mean, he was really atrocious in that LA series. And then this year, Halak gets hurt, he comes in, and Elliott is really terrible for the first part of the season. I mean, just below .900 save percentage, like goals against average over 3, I mean, really bad. So much so that they called up a guy from the AHL, and he was playing over Elliott. Jake Allen, I think, was his name.
Yeah.
And then Halak comes back for a little bit, leaves again, they give Elliott another chance, and then all of a sudden he's very good to close out the season and gets him up to the 4th seed, where they were like kind of floundering around near the 8th seed like 2 weeks ago. But I think he's going to come back down to earth, and he's just nothing compared to Quick. So I think I lean towards LA in this. But I do agree. I think it's going to be a deep series. It's not going to be a sweep this time.
Yeah, I think based on I can trust LA's goaltending, I'm not sure if I can trust a rookie and Brian Elliott, mm-hmm. that I'm probably going to I'll lock in the Kings in 7.
Okay. JP?
Yeah, I mean, like, that sounds good to me. I mean, the Kings, you know, the goaltending, like, as I've said a couple times here, the goaltending is king. I mean, king. But goaltending is what you need in the playoffs, and St. Louis just, you know, it's not consistent there, so it's hard to pick him.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, thanks, guys, for being here. This is fun. Maybe we'll come back and do it for the 2nd round and 3rd round and so on.
Yeah.
See how things go.
I look forward to it.
Go back and do it in the morning. Do the draft for my Flyers. You know?
We'll do a draft podcast. I already feel like there's probably 2 people who are actually listening to this right now. I feel like if we do a draft podcast, those 2 people won't even listen.
Yeah, I think one of the people who's listening is Billy, and he's going to have me banned from NWR now.
No, see, if you're still listening to this, post in the TalkBack thread so we actually know people made it to the end.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Actually, we should just like leave like a clue word, and like all I want is for you to talk thread, put pickles. In the TalkBack thread, put pickles if you've made it this far. Don't say anything else, just put pickles. Maybe if you want to talk hockey, you could post hockey in a different post, but just post pickles.
Yeah, same different post. It has to be a different post.
But I want to see. This is a good test. This is great. Good idea, JP. All right. Well, that will do it. JP, Donald, thank you for being here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Great to be here.
A lot of fun. Can't wait to watch some games tomorrow and just see what happens. So, yeah, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See you.
Hasn't that always been the problem with Philadelphia goaltenders, though? I mean, everybody from Leighton down to Bobrovsky!